All right, let's turn in our Bibles then to Psalm number 39. Psalm number 39, if you're using your Pew Bible, that is on page 643. Sister Nancy's going to read you the scriptures, so it'll be do you good to follow along. Psalm number 39. Thank you.
I said, I will guard my ways, lest I sin with my tongue. I will restrain my mouth with a muzzle, while the wicked are before me. I was mute with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred up. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, and the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as a hand's breadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but a vapor. Shelah. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. How true that is. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I want for, or what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Do not make me the reproach of the foolish. I was mute and did not open my mouth, because it was you who did it. Remove your plague from me. I am consumed by the blow of your hand. When with rebukes you correct man from iniquity, you make his beauty melt away like a moth. Surely every man is vapor, Shelah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner as all my fathers were. Remove your gaze from me, that I may regain strength before I go away and am not more. May God bless his word to your heart.
Let's thank God for his word. Father, you know us so well. You know us inside and out. And you've provided things like this for us in your scriptures so that we might learn, that we might come into close contact with you, Father, and be able to express ourselves to you, our need. So thank you, Father, that you've given us your Son who meets our need. So we pray that you give us understanding now as we talk about your word in Christ. Amen. As you know, I thought it would be good for us during Advent this year to spend our time thinking about just that. Why do we need a Savior? You know, Advent is the time when we anticipate his coming, and in a sense, if you like, sort of liturgically relive that expectation of Israel for the Messiah who was promised. Well, why did we need a Messiah? Now, we're told in Hebrews, like I just said, that God has given us a Savior who meets our need. Okay, he meets our need. Well, what is our need? So for a couple of weeks now, we have considered the two most critical aspects of our need. Number one was that people just don't know God as he is, right? People don't know him. Men and women are in a state of ignorance. They imagine things about God. They make up their own things about God. How did Christ meet that need? He came from the very bosom of the Father, and he revealed God to us in his own person. Secondly, we had the problem of our deep-seated unrighteousness, right? Sin dwelling in me makes me do things that I wish not to do. And sin separates me from God. Okay, even if I know God, even if I know his commandments, and I agree that they are good, I have this sin nature at work in my body and causes me to do things that condemn me. Who's going to save me from that? Well, thank God, his Son came to give his life to pay for my sin and to open the way for the Holy Spirit to come live in me right? And I already have received a down payment of the sinless new life that is to come, right? God's own spirit dwells with me. He does his good will inside me. He's overcoming sin. And I have this promise of a resurrection body, which is going to live forever and, praise God, will never sin again. That's a savior. So today I want to look at a third reason why we need a savior, and it applies to us all. And to put it just in one word, weakness, right? We're weak. Whether we know God well or not, or whether we live unrighteously or righteously, there's something that we can't change, right? We are essentially dust and ashes, right? Teach me, O Lord, how frail I am. Teach me to know my end, the limit of my days, right? Every man, even at his best state, is a vapor. Right, all man's glory is like green grass. It's like a flower in the field, right? It's healthy today, it's pretty, right? But grass withers, flowers fade, and then they're gone. Do you not, saints, have to sleep every single night because your body runs out of energy? Right? Some of you are trying to catch up on your energy right now. How long do you think that you could go without collapsing into unconsciousness? If you have to, could you go 36 hours? 48 hours, maybe? It's not a very long time when you think about it. And aren't you, while you sleep, utterly defenseless? Okay, I would say that's weakness. Do you not get sick from time to time? Right, you know how the flu really takes it out of you, doesn't it? Or when your stomach isn't working right, or when your back isn't working right, or your heart, right? When your heart isn't working right, you really feel your weakness, or sciatic pain, or arthritis, right? Some sicknesses are very terrible. They last for weeks or months. And as you grow older, testify, aren't the aches and pains getting worse and worse, more and more bothersome? Where is that leading? Okay, don't you depend on medicines and doctors to keep you alive? Well, I would say that's a weakness. And that's not to even mention having to eat every single day, more than once a day, right? Don't you need a constant supply of fuel just to keep the machine running? Even a healthy body needs that too, right? You quit eating for the next few days and get back to me, tell me how strong you feel, okay? It turns out you are extremely dependent, aren't you? And frail. And another thing that you see a lot in the Psalms, and, you know, depending on your life so far, you know, maybe it hasn't been a very frequent problem for you personally, yet anyway, but it's getting more so. There are enemies who come against you. David often writes about the enemies who prowl and plot and attempt to hurt him, how much grief they cause him, how they hate him without a cause, how he feels himself to be in danger. Well, how secure are you? If someone got past the bolt on your front door, what then? Okay, why do we even take security measures? Well, because we're weak. We're vulnerable, right? So then there are the kind of enemies who may not attack you physically, but they attack you with words. The psalmist says, they shoot words like arrows. Their tongues are sharpened swords. Okay, and I think young people especially are vulnerable to cruel words, right? Taunts, teasing, bullying, being ostracized from your peers, right? People know how to use words to inflict hurt. And when you're the target of it, you feel your weakness. Okay, and we've all been on probably on the both the giving end and the receiving end of cruel words that are meant to hurt. Or maybe they weren't meant to hurt, but they did hurt because somebody was tactless or insensitive or whatever it is. Depression comes out of a sense of weakness, doesn't it? Right? You feel helpless to change the circumstances that you're in. Sometimes your workload is much too much for you. You know, you have too many responsibilities, not enough time, you're not able to keep up with all you have to do. You feel like you're going to break. Right, you know how they say, it feels like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. So in another psalm, number 69, the writer says, Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink deep in the mire where there is no standing, right? I can't put my feet under me. I have come into deep waters and the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Okay, those are the words of a man facing his weakness. I sink. My days are mere handbreadths, right? My age is as nothing before you. Every man, even at his best state, is a vapor, a breath. Every man walks about like a shadow. That's how insubstantial we are. Okay, now, people who are in the vigor of life, or people who have some physical strength or some wealth, perhaps, or political power or fame, often completely ignore the fact that they are dust and ashes. You might think, by the way some people conduct themselves and by the things that they live for, you might think they were going to live forever, right? That life is just going to perpetually carry on in its present state, right? I'm on top of the world, right? The Bible says they put the day of doom far off. This is like Isaiah said about Great Babylon. I sit as a queen, right? I shall never be a widow. I shall never know the loss of children. They scoff at warnings like the one James gives, that you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. They say, ha! James says, your life is a mist. They laugh. Right? The scripture says such proud people are foolish. In Deuteronomy, the Lord says, they are a nation without sense. There is no discernment in them. If only they were wise and would understand and consider their latter end, that their foot will slip in due time. Their day of distress approaches and their doom rushes upon them. Okay, now, arrogant people may not admit it, and the young and healthy may roll their eyes about it, but the truth is, our lives are very delicately balanced instruments, aren't they, right? The human machine is a fine-tuned instrument, and a lot can go wrong with it, and you're far from indestructible. So weakness, sickness, decay, even just a sudden accident, take even the healthiest, wealthiest, most famous of us, right? Like the Lord said, moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal, and our very selves are wasting away. Our beauty and our vigor, the psalmist says, will melt away like a moth, right? Just crumbles into dust. There is a limit to your days. There's a measure which you cannot exceed. And everyone eventually feels that. And if somebody's arrogant enough to ignore it right at present, well, time will change that. Okay, and that's just the physical, right? What about your weakness of will, your weakness of character? How strong are you against temptation? Well, I guess that depends on the temptation, but I figure everybody has something that they're susceptible to. You know how there are some things that you just cannot stand up to. You know how the Bible says that sin easily entangles, right? Sin has power over me. The devil knows just where my weaknesses are, and I often feel my lack of strength in that regard. So wouldn't you say we need a savior? Right? Don't people understand the very weaknesses you feel, you know, the daily fatigue, the depression, the old age, the sorrows, you know, these things practically scream to you that we need a savior, right? Oh Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Deliver me. Hear my prayer. Give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears. Okay, when you're weak, you need to be saved. God has given us a Savior who meets our need. So what do we need? We need somebody who is, number one, mighty in himself. Number two, can give strength to us. Okay, well, as far as number one, Hebrews says about God's Son that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. I would say that's pretty mighty, right? He is the one through whom God made the worlds. He has the power, right? He's no mere mortal man, right? When we talk about baby Jesus and how sweet the little baby, right? He is no mere mortal man, is he? He took on flesh and blood. He became like us, but he's much more than we are. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Those are his words. Now, the beautiful and marvelous thing about our Savior is that he willingly subjected himself to weakness so that he would share our experience, right? Although he is in very nature God, the mighty God, he, Philippians says, made himself nothing. Made himself nothing. He voluntarily assumed weakness by taking the very nature of a slave, of a servant, okay, being made in human likeness. Now, what is more vulnerable than an infant, right? Not long after he was born, his family had to flee for safety because murderers were after him. Was he indestructible? No. He was utterly dependent. Okay, he had to eat. He had to sleep. He could bleed. He could suffer pain. He could suffer emotional grief. He had to endure insults. He was hounded and surrounded by enemies, violent enemies who wanted him dead. He was falsely accused. He was ganged up on. He was tempted, right? If you're the Messiah, save yourself and us. Come down from the cross. We'll believe in you, right? But he didn't. He only continued to hang there and bleed and suffocate, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the voice of my groans? Oh, dear God, I cry out to you by day, but you don't hear, and at night, but I have no rest. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near me. There is no one to help. Okay, Hebrews says that the Father, when he sent our Savior into the world, made him in every respect like us, just without sin. Right? It says this in Hebrews chapter 2. Since God's children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. In all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful mediator for them, right? A representative for them, right? An intercessor, a high priest, to make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to help those who suffer and are tempted. Okay, a priest or a mediator is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant, weak, and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. Okay, which is to say, as far as Jesus, he has been subject to weakness, right? He was. For a little while, the Bible says. Okay, thou hast made him for a little while lower than the angels. Okay, not anymore, of course. Right, not anymore. Having learned weakness, now he's highly exalted. Right, now he's crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death. Right, having lowered himself all the way down, having purged our sins, Hebrews says he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Almighty. Okay, we have a Savior who meets our need because he himself suffered and was tempted. He's able to help you who are suffering, you who are tempted. He has the power to save to the uttermost you who come to God through him. Okay, not just saving us from ignorance, not just saving us from sin, he saves us from every trial, every weakness, every affliction. So in Christ, even though I remain weak in the flesh, and I want to stress that, I want to repeat that, I remain weak in the flesh, but the power of God is now at work in me. Right? I said we needed a Savior who, number one, is mighty himself, number two, can give strength to us. That's just what he does. I am still fragile, right? I still have to remember, like the psalmist said, the measure of my days. I have to remember how frail I am. James still reminds me, your life is a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. But the amazing thing that Christ my Savior does is to impart enough strength to my weak constitution, particularly to my inner man, that I can endure all manner of attacks, weaknesses, troubles, and stresses without breaking. Okay? It says in the prophets, whoever trusts in him will never stumble. Right? Will never be put to shame. Right? And now it's not that my body suddenly became, when I became a Christian, didn't suddenly become immune to fatigue or germs or pain. It's just the same as it was, my physical body. Okay? All you Christians out there, you can attest to that. You still get injured, you still get sick, and the older you get, the more you feel it. Okay, we still live in an earthen vessel, right? You're a descendant of Adam who was made out of the dust. You're still breakable. But inside that breakable vessel is a divine treasure. Okay, the Spirit of Christ is in you, the Word of God is in you. Right? Hebrews says about Christ that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Well, if he holds the universe together by the word of his power, he can hold you together by the word of his power. Okay, and that is what he does. Okay, and now this is the experience of Christian believers. And the more you live, the longer you live, the more experiences of this you will have. Right? If you're presently weak, if you're presently feeling downcast, afflicted, burdened, okay, just hang on and call on Christ. He is your Savior. And see what he does. He saves in every way. Okay, so this is why Paul says, though outwardly we are wasting away, and we are, inwardly we're being renewed daily. Right? Listen to him say, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but never abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We do not lose heart. Okay? Weak though we are, we do not lose heart. And the psalmist said, I would have lost heart if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Okay, now in fact, as for Paul, he was at the point, and would that all of us could get to this point. He was at the point where he gladly took pleasure in his infirmities, and he says, boasted about his weaknesses. He quit pleading with God to remove them from him, because it was by those weaknesses that the mighty power of Christ was displayed in him. Okay, Christ told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Why? Because my strength is perfected in your weakness. Okay, so Paul went from begging God to remove the thorn to boasting that when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Okay, because God, in fact, chooses the weak things of the world to display his power, to put to shame the strong things of the world. Okay, I want others to see Jesus in me, don't you? Okay, the power of Christ is displayed in you when you are weak, and the only thing keeping you up is his strength. Okay, and Paul tells us that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or imagine, listen, according to the power that works in us through Christ Jesus, right? His power in us. Now, what other Savior are you going to find like that? Okay, not only he is mighty himself, but he is able to sustain you in your weakness. I thought of the image of a great big giant holding a little robin's egg. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. Right? Those who, Jonah said, those who look for deliverance elsewhere forsake their own mercy. Right? Forsake the mercy that could be theirs. Right? I was sinking. But my Savior, the one and only Savior who is able, caught my hand and set me on a rock. Isn't it sad when the scripture says that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him? Isn't it just as sad when Christians feel weak, but they neglect to turn to their Savior for help? He's able to help, right? He is able to save to the uttermost. Do you not know what you're giving up by not turning to him for help? Okay, first it was the knowledge of God, then it was the remission of sins, and now strength in our weakness, right? Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. And what's my hope for tomorrow in this regard? What's Christ's promise to me as far as tomorrow, right? Not just to hold me up and get me through the number of days I have remaining here, but also something more permanent and enduring for hereafter, right? For now, we're dust and ashes, right? But Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians, and with this I finish. He says this, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so we shall bear the image of the man from heaven. Okay, the body, your body, when it is buried, it is corruptible. But when God will raise it, it will be incorruptible. And the scripture says it is buried in weakness, but it will be raised in power. What is buried is the natural body. What will be raised is a spiritual body. Okay, the first man was of the earth, made out of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. But as the heavenly man is, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man, mighty in power. Saints, haven't you heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of heavens and earth, never faints, never grows weary. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the young shall faint and grow weary, and the vigorous will utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles, run and never grow weary, walk and not faint. Love the Lord, you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud man. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Let's give thanks to God for his mighty power at work in us. Lord God, there is no one in heaven and earth besides you. I put my hope in you. Although I know my days are numbered, yet they are not, Lord. They are without number. I know that you shall restore me to life. And my brothers and sisters here, Father, who have trusted in Christ, knowing that in him is the power even to raise the corruptible body into an incorruptible spiritual body, like the word says, like unto his own glorious body. And for that, we praise you. We put our hope in you, Lord God. We pray that you would sustain us in our weakness right now. Keep us from complaining, Lord, about our weaknesses. But help us to pray for one another and to bear each other up before your throne, knowing that you are readily willing and able to dispense your mercy from your throne of grace to those who need it. So I pray, Father, that for my brothers and sisters, that our knees would not quiver and our shoulders would not slump. But I pray, Lord God, that you would uphold us and give us power for each day's living in the honor and glory of the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. In him we pray. Amen.